Samaya, one more time. It's the last great day. A very exciting day for what this represents. And I think it's a great day because it gives hope to all humanity, what this day represents. So we just got through with 7 days of Sukkot, which pictures Yahweh's 1,000-year reign on the earth. And now the last great day, which pictures the new beginning that comes, you know, the eighth day. Eight is the day of new beginnings. And Yahweh's kingdom going on forever. So I have a message today called, They Will Learn War No More. They will learn war no more. I want to start in Genesis 4. Because to me, this is a really, really mystifying story to me with Cain and Abel. I'm just going to read a few verses, starting in verse 3. It was the end of days. It happened that Cain brought an offering to Yahweh from the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought he also from the firstlings of the flocks, even from their fat. And Yahweh looked to Abel and his offering. He did not look to Cain and his offering. And Cain glowed greatly with anger, and his face fell. And Yahweh said to Cain, Why have you angrily glowed, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, is there not exultation? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is toward you. But you should rule over it. And Cain talked with his brother Abel and said, Let us go out into the field. And it happened as they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Wow. So today, you know, we read so many times 2 Timothy 3, you know, in the last days will be all the bad things that we have there and some more probably that aren't even listed. And we understand, you know, we're at the end of 6,000 years of man's rejection of Yahweh and his way of peace. And we understand why all these evil things are happening, and we look forward to that kingdom every day. But here we are in the very beginning, right? This is the very, very beginning. This is the first two, you know, sons that are born there. And for me, in my mind, I can't concept why. Okay, I can concept them fighting. I can concept they have human nature. But I can't concept that the answer to Cain is to kill his brother. Where did he learn this from, right? There was no murder. There was no nothing. So it wasn't that he pushed him on the ground the way we see kids fighting. He killed him. He absolutely killed him. And worse than that, he had no remorse. When Yahweh comes, he actually mocks at Yahweh. You know, am I my brother's keeper? He had no remorse to it. And it shows us from the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, mankind's human nature has been selfish, prideful, jealous, full of greed, and a heart ready to kill anyone who stands in the way of what he wants. And all that will change in the kingdom of Yahweh. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. I'll read 1 through 4 and then verse 9. Behold, the hand of Yahweh is not shortened from saving, nor is his ear heavy from hearing. But your iniquities are separating between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hidden his face from hearing. For your hands are defiled by blood, yea, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood, your tongue murmurs perverseness. No one calls for righteousness, and no one pleads with truth. Trusting emptiness and speaking vanity, they conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. Verse 9. For this reason, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, dimness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. And this has been mankind's destiny, right? From the beginning. And you wonder why. You just wonder why. Why would a civilized human beings ever think of war and killing millions of people, right? We're living in a time now that we've never lived in before, right? We have technology that we've never had before. You know, even sending people into space, although some people doubt it happened. But we at least have airplanes that can go in the air. We've all flown in them. And we have technology where people can communicate all over the world instantaneously, even seeing each other, Zoom meetings and all these things. And with all this technology, right? And even when there's a problem, there's a earthquake or there's a hurricane or something, you'll see that people will put their differences aside and they'll come and they'll try to help, even if they're enemies with each other. And you would think in a time where we have United Nations, where all nations come together and they try to work not only for world peace, but they try to work to stop hunger, they try to work to stop suffering, they try to work to help, you know, children around the world. And yet the reality of it is that the most powerful, the strongest nations on earth, their biggest goals is to get weapons to destroy every last man, woman, and child on the planet. And here we are. We're at a point now where we are closer to nuclear war than we've ever seen in our lifetime. And you wonder how, why? How could people that are civilized, we're not animals, right? You know, that we can talk, we can discuss, and maybe we can disagree, but me disagreeing and not getting my way is going to want me to kill you? To take your life? And like I said, not just one-on-one. And unfortunately, the biggest hypocrites in the world, the United States of Babylon, you know, who want to say about Russia and say about China and say about this and that, they were the only ones that actually did use an atomic bomb and killed 500,000 people instantaneously. They're the ones that have gone into Iraq and these other places, killing 500,000 people immediately, you know, with shock and awe. And anyone that doesn't go our way, we will destroy you, right? But it's not only Babylon. It's all nations. All nations are the same. And I say, as much as it's been no picnic these last 70 years having Babylon as the world leader, wow, look out when China is involved. Look at China today and you'll see what the world will be, right? With social credit scores and people going to prison just for maybe jaywalking or whatever. But it's human beings as a whole. It's not just world leaders, that human beings, their answer to problems is to murder and get rid of whoever is in their way. And it's just so shocking. Why not act mature and make solutions of peace, of cooperations, right? They claim to. There's ambassadors all over the world. They have these meetings. But in the end, it never ends in peace. It's always war. Today, I don't know how many wars are going on, but there's many of them. There's maybe 50, 100, I don't know. But there's wars going on all over the world, and there's always been. There's always been war because it's the mentality of mankind. Today, we only have nuclear weapons because maybe of technology that Yahweh has allowed for that. But don't think that Cain wouldn't have used a nuclear weapon if he didn't have it back then, because he had the same mentality. You know, if my brother gets in my way, kill him. Wow. So, you know, when we look at Genesis 6, and Yahweh says he looked at the sons of men and he saw that their intentions in their heart and everything was only evil, we don't have to look too far to see why Yahweh wanted to kill every man, woman, and child, and that he regretted even making human beings. I say as a human being, if that doesn't touch your heart, to think the creator of the universe that we love, that we pray to every day, actually was so sickened by us as a people that he just wanted to get rid of everything and start over again, then wow, then we've never really repented. And that's why I say you don't repent for what you do, you repent for who you are, because every one of us is born with that nature, right? And Yeshua said, if you get angry, it's murder, and every one of us has gotten angry before. And this is where we should be looking so much for the kingdom of Yahweh. So we're going to see, I'm going to share today, in a time where there will be no more war. But the great part is the answer, why will there be no more war? 1 Kings 4 in verse 24. 1 Kings 4 in verse 24. And this is during the time of King Solomon, who was a type of Messiah, right? He was a type of Messiah, and you read it, and look what it says here in 1 Kings 4, 24. For he had the rule over all on this side of the river, from Tipsah even to Azah, over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on all sides from around him. Maybe the only time on earth that has happened. And Judah and Israel lived securely, every man under his vine and every man under his fig tree. Where do we see that? Isaiah 66, right? In the kingdom, 65 and 66. From Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. So this was a prototype of the kingdom to come in a time where there will be total peace on the earth. How will that come? Revelation 19. The first thing is Yahweh has to destroy everyone that is not of that mindset, everyone that is an enemy, everyone who only wants to selfishly grab and get and hold on to and destroy anyone in their way. Revelation 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven being opened, and behold, a white horse, and he sitting on it, having been called faithful and true, and he judges and makes war in righteousness, right? So the King of Peace has to come first as the Lion of Judah. He's got to make war. He's got to get rid of this evil that has been on the earth and take it out. Verse 14 and 15. And the armies in heaven followed him on white horses, being dressed in fine linen, white and pure. And out of his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations. And he will shepherd them with an iron rod, and he treads the winepress of the wine of the anger of the wrath of Yahweh Almighty. And he has on his garment and on his thigh a name having been written, King of Kings and Master of Masters. Drop down to verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies being assembled to make war with the one sitting on the horse and with his army. And the beast was seized, and with this one was the false prophet doing signs before it, by which he led astray those having received the mark of the beast and those worshipping his image. The two were thrown alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword of the one sitting on the horse, the sword having gone forth from his mouth, and all the birds were filled from their flesh. We can also see this in Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, which actually talks about Sukkot, right? Verse 1, Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, and your spoil will be divided, right, among you. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem, and the city will be captured, and the houses plundered, the women raped, and half the city will go into exile, and the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And Yahweh will go out and fight against those nations like the day he fought in battle, right? His people stand on the Mount of Olives. We know that's Yahweh Yeshua. That is not Yahweh the Father. And then as we drop down, to verse 12, and this shall be the plague with which Yahweh will strike all the people who have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall rot while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will rest in their sockets, and their tongues shall rot in their mouths. And it shall be in that day a great panic of Yahweh shall be among them, and they shall each one lay hold of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah will also fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of the surrounding nations will be gathered, gold and silver and clothing and much. And then it talks about the plagues there. It talks about verse 16, Sukkot. And it shall be everyone who is left from all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King Yahweh of hosts and keep the feast of Sukkot. So we see this, that first, if we are going to have peace in the world, Yahweh has to destroy those who don't want peace. Because he gives us free will. He will never take away our free will because that's his choice. He has free will. He made us in his image to have free will. But the ones who are using their free will for war and murder and killing and weapons of mass destruction, he's got to get rid of. And I can guarantee you that if Yeshua returned today, the Americans would be the first one in line, but all the other countries would be with them. They would put their differences aside to fight Yeshua. Because they would not want him to take away this system that they created. A system of death, a system of war, a system of killing. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. And that's why, as we'll see today, we are ambassadors for a higher calling. We're not part of this system. We're not part of the world governments. We're not citizens of the world of today. We're citizens of the kingdom of Yahweh. So our way isn't going out in the streets and protesting. Our way isn't fighting. Our way isn't picking up guns and fighting somebody else. Our way is bringing the message of hope, which is the only true answer, the kingdom of Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man within him? So also no one has known the things of Elohim except the spirit of Elohim. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit from Elohim, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by Elohim. For the things which we discuss are not dependent on the knowledge of and words of man's wisdom, but on the teaching of the Holy Spirit, thus explaining spiritual things with the spiritual minded. But the material man rejects the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You have to have eyes to see. But the spiritual man discerns everything, and yet no man is able to discern him. Who has known the mind of Yahweh, and he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. That's the only thing that's going to bring change here. It's got to be a change of mindset. And when you look at these world leaders in the world and these things come up, they never look to Yahweh. They never look to his word for the answers. They look to weapons and power. And sadly, in Israel, the same. Instead of looking to their creator, they look to the IDF. They look to, don't worry, we'll take care of them. Don't worry, we can handle ourselves. And we see in scripture, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, but it's for a good reason. Because Yahweh has to, we all know this, he has to take us to our knees before we're humble enough to turn to him. And in the end, it's all for the good. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Because I remember years ago when I was in the Church of God, and one of our elders, a man that I really admired, he gave a sermon one time, and he said that, you know, he said, in the kingdom, he said, every knee will bow to Yeshua. And he said, and if we have to break their kneecaps to do it. But that's not correct. That's not correct. We will not have to break any kneecap to do that in the kingdom. Because as we just read, whoever's knee is not going to bow on his own, their eyeballs are going to melt in their sockets and their flesh are going to go. They're not going to be there. And I can guarantee you that every single person in that kingdom will not have to have their knee bow. Their knee will bow on their own, because as we're going to see here, Yahweh will change the spirit of man at that time. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. And it will be in the last days, here we are, the mountain of the house of Yahweh will be established in the top of the mountains. And he will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will flow unto it. Anybody breaking kneecaps? No. People are coming on their own, they're flowing unto it. And many people shall go and say, come and let us go to the mount of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach from his paths, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion the Torah will go forth, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he will judge among the nations and will rebuke many people. And they will beat their swords into plowshares. Right? Here it is, the Shemitah year. This is what we're looking forward to. The year that they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up a sword against nation, nor shall they learn war anymore. Why? Because it won't even be in their mentality. And as we're sharing with the children in the kingdom, and we're trying to explain this world we live in today, they're not going to be able to understand it, praise Yahweh. They won't be able to understand why a person would want to hurt another person, why a person would want to kill another person, because that mentality won't be there. Yahweh will change the spirit. And then if Cain got mad at his brother, he'd put his arm around him and say, hey, let's go work this out. Let's work it out together. And we are the embryo of that. Because it's only with the spirit of Yahweh that that can change. Without the spirit of Yahweh, it can never change. It's with the spirit of Yahweh that this will happen. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, it says, for though we do live in earthly life, we do not serve worldly things. For the weapons of our warfare, right? The weapons of our warfare aren't nuclear weapons. What are they? They're not fleshly, but the power of Yahweh to the demolition of strongholds. What strongholds are you talking about? Pride, anger, you know? greed, selfishness, to the demolition of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every false thing, lifting itself up against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Messiah. So on that day, there will be no thought. There wouldn't even be a thought of hurting another human being. There would be no thought of trying to take something that's not yours. The thought would actually be whatever you have, you want to give to somebody else. That's the thought, the mentality. And you know the proof of this that you could show somebody? You are the proof. Because with the Spirit of Yahweh living in you, you should be a different person than what you were before. People should see, wow, you know, you're not angry the way you used to be. You know, you're caring the way now. You're not jealous. People should see in us this spirit of peace, and that's the way it'll go through all the world. And you know, there's a lot of writings. I've studied this for 35 years now, even more, of Yeshua. And there's one writing where it says that when Yeshua was talking to his disciples, because they didn't understand this at first, because they didn't have his spirit. And they said, but the Romans are killing us. How can we go there and submit to the Romans? They're killing us. And Yeshua's answer was that, just like Paul said in the Bible, you know, when you give to your enemy, you throw hot coals on him. And he said, once you give to your enemy, he then becomes your friend. And then he's not your enemy anymore. And when you do this person by person, soon there'll be no more enemies in the world. You change that person's heart by not giving back evil, for not giving back reviling for reviling. You change by not being like them. And that's the way. That's the way if you want to get even with somebody who is evil. The way you get even is don't be like them. Don't be like them. And that is the way that we are going to change the world that we live in today. Yahweh has given us the mind of Messiah. That we're not going to give back what the world has. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government is on his shoulder. And his name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty El, the Prince of Peace, Shar Shalom, the one who fathered everlasting life. There is no end to the increase of his government and peace on the throne of David and on his kingdom, to order it, to sustain it with justice and righteousness from now and forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will do this. So that's why we don't need to go in the protests. We don't need to go in the streets, right? Because Yahweh's going to take care of it. He will take care of it. What we need to do as ambassadors for the kingdom of Yahweh is we need to portray this in our life. We need to show that this is a reality. It's not fiction, right? Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Proverbs 16 and verse 32 says, one slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So, peace has to start with yourself. How can we go out and talk about world peace in the world if you're fighting with your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your neighbor, your person at work, somebody in the congregation, anybody, right? I'll read that again. One slow to anger is better than the mighty. So here it is, the mighty, right? The army. Somebody who is in control of his spirit and slow to anger is better than an army. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Wow, that's powerful. That is really, really powerful. Peace starts with one person. Do you bring a spirit of peace or do you bring a spirit of war and contention? Right? You can't control the world, but you can control yourself. And each time something happens, you know, a soft answer turns away wrath. So when somebody comes up, maybe with a hard answer, what is your reaction? Is it to give another hard answer and argue? Or is it a soft answer? I always tell the story years ago when I was working in landscaping and we had this complex we were doing and there was something that was done wrong. I forget what it was, but I just remember that the boss, I remember him walking toward me and I could see like steam kind of coming out of his head. And as he's coming, you know, and I know he's going to chew me out, and I'm thinking a soft answer turns away wrath. So he's like, I got to talk to you. You know, I'm like, hey, Joe, how you doing? And he's like, oh, fine, but I got to talk to you, you know? Because he was all mad about this thing. So I'm like, hey, you just came back from vacation, huh? And he's like, yeah, but I need to talk to you about this. And I'm like, oh, well, where'd you go? And he's mentioned, I'm like, you went there? I was there. And he's like, you were? And then we get in this good conversation, you know? And then like 15 minutes later, I'm like, didn't you have to tell me something? And he's like, oh, yeah, you forgot to do this, but just get it done today, you know? Now, again, you come hard at somebody, human nature, right? Because we have the, humans today have the spirit of war, contention. But a soft answer turns away wrath. That's the way we have to be. Peace starts with one person, oneself. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. A man to whom there is no control in his spirit is like a broken down city without a wall. What does that mean? That means he's defenseless. So if you can't control your spirit, you're totally defenseless. And this is where we need self-discipline in our life, and it doesn't just happen. You know, you have to work on it. A man on whom there is no control of his spirit is like a broken down city without a wall. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the beginning of the verse I'll read. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is, right? So what are your thoughts all day? Are your thoughts angry thoughts, bitter thoughts? Then you're an angry person, you're a bitter person. Are your thoughts happy thoughts? Then you're a happy person. Are your thoughts lustful thoughts? Then you're a lustful person. Are your thoughts covetous thoughts? Then you're a covetous person. Whatever your thought is, that's what you are. That's what Yahweh's word says. As you think, you are. Do you have a spirit of peace or do you have a spirit of war? Are you easily offended? Pride, self-righteousness, right? So that's another thing that brings the opposite of peace. Are you offended when somebody says something very easily? Do you take things the wrong way because of your pride? We have to be looking at this because, again, as Yahweh's ambassadors, you can't bring something you don't have. And if that's our main job, I tell this at the school all the time, the main job as an ambassador is to bring peace. What happens when war happens? The first thing you do is close down the embassy and get rid of the ambassador. His job's over. The ambassador is not there for war. The ambassador is there for peace. So if you don't have a spirit of peace, you're useless to Yahweh as an ambassador. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. He says, for this reason I remind you to stir up the gift of Elohim which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For Yahweh did not give a spirit of cowardness to us, but of power and love and good discipline. And we have to get this in our lives. We have to get discipline to be able to, when somebody's speaking, not to immediately say something back. We want to think about what our words are, right? Where many words are, sin is not absent. And that's why the whole internet age, right? People click and pop, 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 pop. They're not even thinking about what they're doing. Where if you get a letter in the mail and you're looking at that letter and maybe that letter is not the best letter or you're angry about it or you have to respond to it, at least it's a letter so you can sleep on it, right? And then the next day you read it and maybe you're in a different frame of mind. You're like, that's... Now I'm seeing it different today than I did yesterday. But with internet, everything is going quickly, quickly, quickly. And people are allowing the human nature to come out, and they're not giving themselves time to think and get self-discipline to what they need to do. We have to discipline our bodies to have self-control, and it takes daily effort. Just like exercise, just like a sports player, you know, like I always say, you know, the people that are sports play, it doesn't matter, it could be tennis, it could be anything. You don't become a champion in the ring. You become a champion every day of your life when you're practicing. That's what makes a champion, you know. The person, when he gets in there in the Olympics and he wins, all that is the extension of years and years and years of practice and discipline. So he doesn't become a champion in the ring. He becomes a champion every day of his life and what he's doing. Proverbs 15 and verse 17. It says, better is a dinner of vegetables where love is. And wow, even in Shemitah, right? That even sounds better. A dinner of vegetables where love is than a stalled ox in hatred with it. A furious man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger calms fighting. So are you in control of your spirit? And you know what? It's great to be able to come back and apologize and say I'm sorry. But the better thing is to have control of your spirit and not to do it. Because if you're doing that consistently, if every day, every week, every month, you have to keep coming and saying, I'm sorry for the same thing, then the I'm sorry means nothing. I'm sorry means repentance. I'm sorry means a change. I'm sorry means give me a second chance. I won't do it again. Right? But if you're doing the same thing every single time, the I'm sorry really comes down to nothing. It becomes meaningless. It's just a way of somebody trying to get out of the situation. So we want to make sure, like it says, a furious man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger calms fighting. If you don't have peace in your life and in your family, how can you bring it to the world? That's what we say. You start with yourself, and then you extend to your family, and then to the congregation, and then to the world. And that's the way it's got to be. We have to have that peace in ourselves. We have to bring that peace to our family, and then our friends in the congregation, and then we bring it to the world. Proverbs 19 and verse 11, it says, a man's discretion makes his anger slow, and his glory is to pass over a transgression. And that's where in your life, why you need to be practicing this. That's why you need to have, you know, daily goals, weekly goals, you know, yearly goals. This is why you need to be working on these things every day of our life. Because it's not just going to happen. We're human beings, and if you're going to overcome your flesh, it won't just happen from doing nothing, the same way that athlete isn't going to make it into the Olympics just by hoping that he gets there. This is something we need to be working on every day of our life. We need to be focused on it, and we need to be working on overcoming. We need to be praying about it, fasting about it. And it will happen, because the Spirit of Yahweh can do anything, but it won't just happen if you're not working on it, if you're not making it happen. We must look to be a peacemaker. And like I said, if we're getting offended, it's pride that happens, and that's what wants to strike back. So we want to make sure we take time, we're thinking about it. 2 Corinthians 5:20, then on behalf of Messiah, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors as Elohim is exhorting through us. We beseech on behalf of Messiah, be reconciled to Yahweh. And you know, and I say this, I say it at the school, I'll say it here. You might think, well, I'll never be in this position or I'll never be in that, but you never know where Yahweh's going to put you through. If you look in the Bible, almost every great person of Yahweh started from nothing, you know? So they never knew it. And I can tell you from my life, not in a million years would I ever thought that I would be speaking in front of the Israeli Knesset 25 times or going to world leaders or going to the United Nations. You know, going to the beast power, you know, on behalf of Yahweh, you know, to share his message of peace to the world, you know, to be able to be blessed, to have the peace program that we brought to all the different nations. So you never know where Yahweh is going to put you, but I can guarantee you this, if you're not prepared, Yahweh isn't going to put you there. And I can guarantee you this also, when the kingdom comes, every one of us will be in way bigger positions. Because, you know, there's many, many countries out there, and there'll be people that live through this horror that are going to need that spirit of peace to bring to them. And who is he going to use? Us. We're his ambassadors. But if you don't prepare, what's going to happen? When Yeshua returns, you're not going to be ready to go out. You won't be prepared to do it. And this is why we must do this now. We have to prepare. We have to take this so seriously. You have to live in a mentality as an ambassador. You know, that was our motto, the ambassador of Yahweh. He's always in state. You know, you're never out of state. And I'll never forget when I was in the Philippines just a few years ago, and they had the event they were doing with me and the ambassador for Israel, Dori Ben-On. And he didn't know what was going on. And he wasn't sure what it was, and he came there, and then when he realized that it was like a formal event, he kept apologizing to me because he didn't have his tie. He had his jacket on and everything else, and he kept saying, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't know what to do. And I said, no, don't worry about it. He's like, no, I'm really sorry. Why? Because he's an ambassador. And he knows an ambassador is always in state. When I'd be invited to meetings, and they'd say, oh, don't worry, this meeting is informal, you don't have to wear a suit. I said, nah, I'm going to wear one anyway. Because I'm representing Yahweh. And when I'm representing Yahweh, I'm going to look my best, the best that I can, you know. And people have, they've said, you know, I've had people that have written me and said, you know, oh, well, you think that, you know, that Yahweh requires the suit and this and that. And I said, no, What Yahweh requires is the best you have. If you don't have a suit, that's fine. But are you going to bring the best you have when you come to Sabbath service? You're appearing before the creator of the universe. You're praising him. You know? And we see the parable, right, in Matthew. What happens? The one that came in without the wedding garment, he's thrown into everlasting fire. Not the one that was dressed proper. I did an article years ago, you know, dress like a king. We're going to be kings and priests in the kingdom. And if you don't have that mentality, if that's not a reality to you, you're not going to be there then. Because like I said, this is so close now, we can taste it. And if you despise the governments of this world and you despise the wars and the fighting and the killing, then be part of the solution. Be part of the solution, because each one of us has been called to be part of the solution. But the first thing you have to do is you have to change yourself. You've got to get in yourself a spirit of peace. And like I said, extend that to your family, to your brethren. And then we go into the world and we bring this. Acts 20 and verse 35. I love this scripture. Now, we don't see this in the four good news, but Paul says it. He says, I showed you all things that working in this way, we ought to help those being weak and to remember the words of the Master Yeshua that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what is bringing war? What is bringing killing? What is bringing death? The opposite of this. People wanting things they don't have. People wanting other people's land. People wanting other people's clothing. People wanting other people to do it the way I want to do it. That's what brings war. But what brings peace? The scripture right here. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And it really is. You can't understand it without the Spirit of Yahweh. But with the Spirit of Yahweh, it really is. You feel better giving to somebody else than you feel getting something yourself. And it's really, really a great feeling when you're able to help somebody else that's in need. We have to be the opposite of the world today that puts itself first. The only way to true happiness is giving, not getting. Satan has the world deceived. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 22. So what does this mean on a local level to us? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22. When he's talking about the body, you know how we're one body, the Messiah being the head, but much rather the members of the body seeming to be weaker are necessary, right? The ones seeming to be weaker, who may they be? Maybe the widows, maybe the handicapped. And those of the body we think to be less honorable, to these we put more abundant honor around them. And our dishonored members we dress with greater care. So these are the people we should be lifting up and we should be honoring. And I say one thing, you know, that actually when you look, Yahweh will never give you more than you could handle. And some of the strongest people in the congregation are the ones that could be handicapped, you know, blind, crippled. Because I know I'd have a hard time. I don't think I'd be able to handle it, and Yahweh hasn't given it to me. But they're strong enough to handle that. And we have to give the people that seem to be the weaker, the greater honor, as it's saying here. But our valued parts have no need for attention. But Elohim tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to the member having need. That there not be division in the body, but that the members might have the same care one for another. And if one member is in pain, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice in it. Right? So that's the way we have to look at it. There should be no jealousy. There should be no, you know, looking. Somebody has something. I don't know. It should be the opposite. It should be lifting each other up, because we are only as strong as the weakest link. You know? As a body, we're only as strong as the weakest link. And we need to be building everybody up to the same point. That everybody should be strong in strength. Everybody should be able to have the spirit of peace, to be able to go out, you know, and witness to what we're about. That we're about love and peace and caring and helping. And that needs to be everywhere. We have to care for each other. Micah 4 and verse 2. Micah 4 and verse 2. It says, and many nations will come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us from his ways, And we will walk in his paths, for the Torah will go forth out of Mount Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many people, and will decide for strong nations afar off. And they will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, nor shall they learn war anymore. And actually, in United Nations in New York, that's what they have, right? They have that picture, you know, of this, but they're not living it. They're not doing it because they don't have that spirit of peace. And they shall each one sit under his vine and under his fig tree, like we read during Solomon. And there will be no trembling, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken that. So it shouldn't matter to us that the world is in chaos. It shouldn't matter that the world wants war, you know, or the leaders want war. What should matter to us is bringing that spirit of peace one by one to each person that we meet in our life. To helping to show people we're different. We're not like the world. You know, we're not looking for war. We're looking for peace. We're looking to help. Revelation 20 and verse 4. He says, I saw thrones and them that sat on it, and judgment was given to them, and the souls of the one having been beheaded because of the witness of Yeshua and the word of Yahweh, who had not worshipped the beast nor its image, and had not received the mark on their forehead and their hand, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. We were talking about this yesterday with the smartphone, which is actually the dumb phone. They call good for evil, evil for good, right? It's in the hand and in the forehead. But these are the people who did not have it in their hand or their forehead. These are the people that resisted it, right? And they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one having part in the first resurrection, right? They're the groundbreakers. They're the ones that are going to be the grassroots for the kingdom of Yahweh forever. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of Yahweh and his Messiah and will reign with him for 1,000 years, right? Revelation 5:10 says there'll be kings and priests. That's why we said Yeshua is King of Kings, because we will be kings around the world, but not kings that are looking for people to bow to us, not kings that are taking all the wealth from the people. It's the opposite. He who wants to be greatest among you, let him be your servant. So we will be serving these people. We'll be teaching them how to grow organically. We will be teaching them, you know, how to live together. You know, how to educate them the proper way. You know, how to not build like the cities where they build on top of each other. Where they have room, they have land, right? Every man sitting under his fig tree. And these are all the things that Yahweh says in his word. And he's called each of us to be a part of this. Isaiah 11 in verse 9. Isaiah 11 and verse 9. And this is the whole reason why, you know, we do the school. I've been doing it for almost 20 years. To train. We have to be trained. There's no job in the world that you're going to get that you don't train to do. You know, you train for a job so you know how to do it properly. And that's what, praise Yahweh, that he's allowed us to have training for this. Isaiah 11 and verse 6. And the wolf shall live with the lamb. Wow. Imagine that. And the leopard will lie with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. What a picture, huh? What a picture. The cow and the bear will feed. Their young will lie together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And the infant will play on the hole of the asp. Yea, the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. They shall not do evil nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the water covers the sea. Wow. If only people would listen today, right? If only they would realize this isn't an ancient book with no meaning to it, but this has the answers to everything you need in life. Personal answers, family answers, growing answers, whatever it is, whatever answers you need, they're right in this book. But even in the kingdom, even the nature of animals will be changed. There will not be any creature alive that has any other nature than a nature of love and cooperation and serving each other. What a great joy, what a great hope we have. Even the nature of animals will be changed. They will have total peace and cooperation like Eden, like the Garden of Eden. Matthew 5:9. says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons or children of Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? They will be called children of Yahweh. Yahweh called us to be children, right? We said that Yahweh is a family. And Yeshua Yahweh, or Yahweh the Father, Yeshua Yahweh the Son. And we are called to be sons and daughters. We're children. And he says, blessed are the peacemakers. So it's a choice we have, though. Every day of our life, and it's not always going to be easy, right? Because there's going to be people that don't have the Spirit, that are going to come up and challenge us, that are going to get in our face, that are going to do bad things to us, that are going to take things away that aren't theirs. But we still have a choice. You still have free will. And I said this during COVID. That is our greatest power, that they can lock you in your house. They can take away your job. They can stop you from going to supermarkets. But they can't take away that you have free choice. They can't take away your response. They can't force your response. So no matter what is done to you, you can still respond in love. You can respond in peace. And you can respond with the character of an ambassador of Yahweh. That's the free choice we have in every situation that happens. And I think of the story from Richard Wurmbrand when he was in prison and the horrible beatings that he went through. I mean, to the point where he couldn't even move his hands. They broke his fingers, everything, because he was praying. And they beat him unmercifully. And then they put him back and he's sitting there and the guard comes and looks. And he sees after that horrible beating, he's still praying. And the guard was angered like anything. And he's saying, what is wrong with you? You lost everything. You have nothing. You have nothing to pray for anymore. What on earth could you be praying for? And he turns and looks at the guard and says, I'm praying for you. And that guard's face just went down. That his wife, even to the point that the prison guard that was in her prison was the one that killed her parents. And she forgave that man, and that man came to faith over that. He couldn't believe that she could forgive him. And she said, in my life, I've only hugged two men, my husband and that prison guard. But this is the choice we have in our life, that no matter what happens, Satan can't take away your free will on how to respond, and that's powerful. Because you don't have to respond like the world. You don't have to respond with anger and hate, reviling for reviling. But we have free will. We can always respond with the character of an ambassador of Yahweh. Last scripture. Because like I said, it doesn't just happen. It's not going to happen. You have to work on this. You have to work on it. You have to discipline yourself. The same way somebody isn't just going to run a marathon 30 miles. You know, he probably dropped dead after a quarter of a mile. He trains himself. He goes out every night. He disciplines himself to get up at a certain time to run. You have to do the same thing in your life. You know, you have to discipline yourself to be an ambassador of Yahweh. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Last scripture. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your humility be known to all men. Our master is at hand. Praise Yahweh for that. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving. We need to be thankful for everything. Every situation you're in, even trials, be thankful for, because the worst situation is the one that's going to help you overcome the most. So we need to be thankful in everything. Let your requests be made known to Yahweh. That's another thing. Talk to our dad every day. Don't be afraid not to talk about the little things. You know, I talk to Yahweh all day long. As I'm walking, as I'm going, always be talking to Him. Let your requests be made known to Elohim. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Yeshua Messiah. Because the world can't understand this peace. The real peace that comes from a change of spirit and a change of heart. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. And what things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these things, right? Practice them. You have to practice to become good at something. And the Elohim of peace will be with you. Practice these things, and the Elohim of peace will be with you. By having the right relationship with Yahweh and surrendering our will to Him and His Spirit of peace and denouncing our human nature, He will give us His peace. We have to ask for it. To be His ambassador and to do the job we have been called to do, what a great hope we have to look forward to today when they will learn war no more. And every Sukkot we're here, every time we come together, every last great day, is 1 year closer to that time. And I look forward to the day that I won't be sitting at this chair, but Yeshua will be sharing with us. And that very first feast that we'll be celebrating with Him, not here in the wilderness, but in the great city, Yerushalayim. So again, what a wonderful feast we had. You know, if it goes that fast, you know it had to be good. But again, I thank everybody. I thank everybody for your cooperation, your love, your caring, your helping. And wow, what a great time we had together. So I just put a blessing on all of you and look forward to next time. We don't know when that's going to be in the world we're living in today. Well, Yahweh bless you until we meet again. Yahweh bless. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.